see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon on this 21st of February, 2014. Well, on this Friday, how are we doing this afternoon? End of the week, here we go with another Watchmen for Jesus program today. We're going to talk about today, break it down for you, just what's going on with this homosexual agenda. And we'll talk a little bit about tattoos and current news we'll speak about. And those of my regular listeners, you know what I do. Sometimes I get off on rabbit trails, and sometimes I'll need an email every now and then or a text or something to get me back on track. But I go those rabbit trails every now and then. Yeah, I know. It's more than every now and then. But I want to focus on this because the homosexual agenda linked up to the feminist movement, linked up to every other movement that's going on. They're all connected. And, you know, that sounds outrageous to talk about if you're a brand new listener, but it's actually true with evidence that people just would rather ignore. But ignoring evidence doesn't work. You know, you can stand on a train track and get stuck there, your foot stuck, and you can ignore all you want that the train's coming, but all you're ignoring and denial is not going to stop that train. You know, unless the conductor sees you or you get your foot unstuck, you're going to get squashed like a bug. And all the belief and all the other that's going on is not going to stop it. Well, the same thing, the reality, with evidence, is that you are in a conspiracy, whether you like it or not or believe it or not, don't matter. It's fact. And evidence is clear. And ignoring it, hoping it just goes away, if I just close my eyes and open them up and or click my heels three times and maybe even move to Kansas, where they have a red-colored pond. Yeah. This conspiracy is not going to go away. It's going to accumulate into the end times events eventually. But that's in God's timing and nobody else's. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to start talking about some current events and what's really behind them. And then I'm going to move into the socialistic agenda of how they're using the homosexuals, and they don't even know they're being used. They're being used as a tool, just like the feminist movement, just like the international rights of the child, the welfare for the children, the family. They use benevolent or seemingly unrelated movements, activist type groups for their purposes. That's how they do it. And the people below just don't know. They really don't. Like I was talking about the other day on a particular radio show I was on about the Christian identity folks. Well, the folks individually, you're asking good people in these groups and organizations. I mean, they're basically good. You know, I'm nobody to judge anybody. But what they don't know, for example, is what the hierarchy of the Christian identity is really up to. If they were to learn, they'd get out of there as a fast. They'd say, wait a minute, this is not what you told us. That's what I'm talking about, you see. They don't know. A lot of people just don't know it. And then when they find out, then the others, they try to deny it or literally, the Christian identity has a massive brainwashing mechanism. It's just second to none. And it lasts a long time. You see? So, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast before I get kicking here. Sometimes I do. And then we're going to get started. Lord, we thank you today. We dedicate this broadcast as we do always, Lord, to your glory. Thank you for this opportunity we have again. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Father, we thank you for your holy word in the King James Bible. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that keeps us tied together, the conviction we get when we fall away, and the wisdom discernment that it gives us when we listen. And Lord, we pray for our family members. We call upon you, Lord, that you'll spread the holy blood, the uncorrupted blood of Jesus around us, Lord, and our family members for healing. Father, to bring back their minds that have been taken away by these vaccines and by the Alzheimer's that's being caused by these vaccines. Lord, that we know the microchips. We know about the chemicals inside, that what it does, the aluminums and all these things that's inside of these chemtrails, these vaccines, that, Lord, you render it null and void. Lord, we call upon you that to use divine appointments to bring our families together in tragedies, in instances that happened, that, Lord, you use these to glorify you through divine appointments, Lord, to set us up to witness to others about Jesus Christ or to validate each other's thoughts and plans, and Father, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to give us the ears to hear, the heart to do what your will. We call upon you, Lord, to spread the Holy Spirit around this country. They'll wake up the world leaders. They'll wake up the U.S. leaders, the military leaders, the clergy that's on the pulpits, that, Lord, they'll somehow find the courage to speak the truth about Jesus Christ, about the King James Bible, about what's supposed to be really be done. We call upon you, Lord, to protect the children that are being targeted for abduction, for these sacrifices that this Wicca is coming up with, for those children that's been kidnapped, used by the government, used by the Europeans that are into the Luciferian agenda, that, Father, they'll find a way to let them loose, ones that can. And, Lord, you put a stop to the Wicca sacrifices and the ceremonies that they have. And, Father, to expose the fallen angels for who and what they really are, and to bring the truth to light. Father, in these things we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, here we are. I was reading an article this morning. I don't know where they're coming with this, but boy, it sure sounds familiar. It's an article, and there's no doubt whatsoever in my mind, not one doubt, that this teacher, a substitute teacher in a physics class in Michigan, it is absolutely a setup that they could put in the newspaper and spread it around the United States to make a point. Now, my regular listeners, you've heard me talk about this dozens of times, little I could say that now, about how they control the media 100%. Now, congressional records confirm that the media is 100% controlled. And I've given you that quote before, that in 1915, congressional records prove the conspiracy between powerful business media interests. When J.P. Morgan, in March of 1915, bought out control of 25 of the greatest papers in America, and an editor was furnished for each paper, and what they did to supervise, edit information regarding any questions of preparedness, militarism, financial policies, other things of national and international nature considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. The policy included suppression of everything in opposition to the wishes of the interest served, unquote. And J.P. Morgan served the Illuminati and the Jesuits. J.P. Morgan and Churchill are, in fact, according to evidence of historians with quotes, were responsible for the murder of 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania. They contrived, in fact, as recorded by Colin Simpson and other historians, that J.P. Morgan and Churchill, both evil to the absolute core, orchestrated the sinking of the Lusitania, working with Churchill's second cousin, Adolf Hitler. That's a fact now, by the way. To sink the Lusitania as a false flag in order to justify entrance into the First World War. And to tick off Americans to also want to join the war. Now, why am I telling you this? To show you the people that you're dealing with. J.P. Morgan, Churchill, this article, it all comes together. Now, so further, why am I telling you this? Well, to let you know that the media is in fact controlled, because when J.P. Morgan bought the interest, he passed the, shall we say, baton on to Rockefellers. By 1921, somewhere between 1916 and 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations, when it was created, formed up in 1921 by the Rockefellers and others, Mandel House and all these other Satanists, it is the Illuminati in the United States. I don't believe in Illuminati, really. They want you to drive to the location of the Council of Foreign Relations and walk right up to the door of the Illuminati. Fact. That is the Illuminati, period, with another name. Sister to it is the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. Is the Illuminati on that side of the big fence? And actually, see, every country has one of these organizations. And just north of us, the Canadian Institute for International Affairs is Canadian Illuminati. Hey, y'all got them. Every country has got them. So the Council of Foreign Relations, the Illuminati, took control from J.P. Morgan, as it was given to him, and they then maintained control of all media. And as media came around through technology, television, radio, newspapers, internet, everything was added to their roles of control. So your media is 100% controlled. There is not one speaker broadcast on TV, not even one that's on your side. Not one. Beck is a liar. Beck, Limbaugh, Hannity, every single one of them. On Q, they can pretend to be patriots. They can do all kinds of things. They can do tap dancing. They write books to give them credibility. But they play their role really well. When I say liar, they tell 80% truth, and they deviate the other 20%, like controlled opposition does, to lead you away from the absolute truth. So I get you to believe me 80% of the time, then the other 20% must be true. That's how they do it. That's how our car salesman does it. And they're nothing more than green pair of pants and red t-shirt car salesmen. Worth nothing more than that. I don't give a hoot if they have some degree or they're in the Media Hall of Fame. Means absolutely zero. When they lie, like they do, every single one of them, then it invalidates anything they've ever done. Their whole life is waste. They may do good deeds. May do a little crying about patriotism and all this. I'm telling you right now, it's formulated. Matter of fact, you can look it up where Beck fakes tears. They can show them up on, they even put it up there. You can watch. In one presentation I've seen, it was a quick clip showing how they make tears and all this stuff. It's baloney. So, point is, here we go. So now you take the substitute teacher taped spouting, this is the title of the article, that everybody in the United States is going to read. You see how they do it? So they set this up in Michigan. They make sure the media knows about it. They write it up, and by the time he does it, then they put it out over the viral, or whatever you want to call it, so the entire United States and otherwise read it. It's a great teaching thing. When you read the media, oh, here we go. When you read the media, you're actually in a college. You don't even know it. Here's what he says. Oh, you'll love this. It's really clever. Quote, substitute teacher taped spouting bizarre conspiracy theories in high school physics class. That's the title of the article. Now, compare that, you can do it right now if you want to the articles actually done then about, see, they have to tell you the truth. Then they do other articles to counter it. See how they play this little game? That's why they got the History Channel and Discovery Channel. Some of them sometimes contradict each other to keep you always off balance. So you have, look it up right now if you want to, the 33 conspiracy theories that proved to be true. And conspiracy theories that proved to be true. Then you come up with this one. So different people will see different things, and then what it does, it keeps us all separated. It's very clever how they do this. Very clever. So here we go. So his teacher, it's really bizarre that he even put in the paper if it was real. But it's a setup. It's orchestrated. It's a reality station here, you see. So here's what happened. A substitute teacher, of course, he's a throwaway. And he starts talking in the physics class. Now, how many substitute teachers that's got a job is going to really start doing this? And then they print it in the paper throughout the United States. Come on now. Might as well call it Days of Our Lives and run it every day. It's a soap opera. Here's what he says. There's a public, taxpaying, funded high school in Michigan. Has clandestine filmed, oh man, look how they use this, a substitute teacher preaching, quote, crazy conspiracy theories in front of a high school physics class last month. I wonder if they've been listening to my broadcast. Nah, they wouldn't listen to my broadcast. Sources who wish to remain anonymous for fear of retribution, got to put some drama in there, you see, from school officials have told the Daily Caller that the incident occurred on January 16, 2013, at Grossy Point North High School in the ritzy suburb of Detroit, Michigan. Ritzy section. So give it a little credibility, right? Yeah. They say the substitute teacher is Jason Glicker. So now, the reason for the regular teacher's absence this day is unclear. Now, the student recorded on a cell phone, set up the camera to show basically just the classroom ceiling, of course. So, as the clip begins, I started laughing when I read this part. Glicker can be heard calmly discussing people who worked for the ISI, which is Pakistani Intelligence Service. ISI was working with the CIA, by the way, in helping get the Mujahideen from Afghanistan into Croatia and Bosnia. Worked with Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, and Turkish intelligence and CIA worked together in perfect harmony to move 10,000 Mujahideen in the late 80s into Croatia and Bosnia to start. That's what we did, what the CIA did with the other guys there. Muslims, they all work together. And ISI was a part of it. And ISI with CIA also assassinated Premier Bhutto. A couple months after she announced on David Frost's show that bin Laden had been dead, this is sometime before 2007. She was on in 2007 and said that bin Laden was dead even as far back as 2007, killed by Omar Sheikh. She died 2 months later after she announced that. I know for a fact ISI is involved with moving Mujahideen out. So back to the article. I thought it really interesting and amusing that they would talk about ISI in this article out of nowhere. It's like nothing. It becomes clear that the substitute teachers discussing September 11th terrorist attacks. Quote, the ISI is funded indirectly by the CIA, he's telling the students. So whether they know it or not, they were funding the terrorists. He explains then, one of the hijackers, Muhammad Atta, he was not a Muslim extremist because he'd been living here for years. He had an American girlfriend. He was supposedly addicted to cocaine. What is this stuff? So then Glicker argues that Atta was not a Muslim extremist because if you're a Muslim fundamentalist, you know, you would stick to, you know, the laws of Islam. So he's trying to put it, it's a inside job kind of direction, which brings more conspiracy. You know, they're going to start snickering in the background and making fun of him. Of course, they're going to write that in. Next, a confused student asks why the September 11th terrorists killed themselves. Well, that's where it gets weird. The physics sub responded. That's where I think somewhere along the lines of something like, Here we go. MK Ultra, where they're like brainwashing these people. This is so scripted, it's not even funny. So anyway, continuing, the teacher does not specify who they is. However, he immediately goes on to claim that the CIA was responsible for Jonestown Massacre, where 909 people drank poison on the orders of occult leader Jim Jones. He suggests the incident was probably an offshoot of the MK Ultra program, unquote. He's hitting all the bases. You see, Jonestown was a CIA operation, and Jim Jones was, in fact, a Jesuit, like Castro was a Jesuit for 7 years. Billy Graham's a Jesuit and a 33rd degree Mason, and that's a fact. I got pictures of him receiving a Jesuit degree, and Jesuits are everywhere. They put them in every discipline. Jesuits work for the Vatican, and Jim Jones was a Jesuit. He was a Jesuit. He was CIA. And they did kill those 909 people and shot the ones that tried to run away in Jonestown. It was an experiment by the CIA. So now about a little bit later, Glicker, whatever, was writing on a whiteboard with what the sub believes are, quote, the most easy to prove conspiracy theories. I thought he was teaching physics. They're making sure this gets put in the paper. And then he talks about MK Ultra and Operation Gladio or something or another, and describes by saying the most world governments, pretty much, they want to start a war, so they would use a false flag terrorist attack, unquote. And at roughly that point, quote, as Glicker back to the class, they got to put this in there. Students can clearly be heard snickering in disbelief about the bizarre arguments they are witnessing. So you see how this puts down conspiracy facts and those of us that talk about the truth? This is how they do it. Oh, you're going to love the next one. Then Glicker, quote, Glicker then explains how Franklin Roosevelt and other U.S. officials let Pearl Harbor happen as an excuse to enter World War II, unquote. Boy, this sounds familiar. It really does. They don't miss anything. And he reps our Contra affair, more cocaine, and to a vast conspiracy theory. The videographer becomes bold enough to film Glicker directly. The teacher's shown with black hair and a beard, and he's wearing a long necklace. And from then on, it talks about ATF gun walking scandal and Operation Fast and Furious and family, this is all a setup. So if I talk about it on the air and you read this article, you're going to associate me with this fruitcake here, this prostitute that gave his life, his body over to the Illuminati for some amount of money to pretend to be a subteacher. How's that? Because that's what it is. You see. And this is how they do it. Yeah. And then another way, here's a six-year-old. They got an article, six-year-old puts the IRS in this place, dun 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 dun, with this letter written in crayon. He writes for his mother, a six-year-old now, Dear tax man, I got your letter. I am now 6 years old. It is okay if you talk to my mama, Susan L. Smith, about my tax papers. I mean, Paula Smith. But see, the article says a six-year-old put it to the IRS. Here's the deal. They're going to come down to an economic crash eventually, whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years, or next month. Whenever it is, it's going to hit hard worldwide. The first that's got to go down, the United States. We got to go down. Nixon helped set this up with Executive Order 11647. And dividing the United States in 10 regions, 5 states each, one governor and UN regional administrator will be in control of each region. That's what the executive order set up when he was going to declare martial law in 1973. Never happened. And so when it didn't happen, they rescinded 3 orders, 11495, 11731, and 11647. That's 11731 overrode 11647 because it was it ran out of its date. So in 1978, they had to rescind it all because it didn't happen. So they had to hide it. Well, guess what? They transferred that planning process into FEMA, that Nixon and Reagan and Carter and Oliver North and the rest of them come up, Giafrida and all the rest of them, for FEMA. Knights of Malta, Illuminati, pass it on to FEMA, and you'll find it in the document entitled FEMA Transition 2009. The FEMA regions is an exact, right down to the state, copy of Nixon's Executive Order 11647. He just passed it on. Now, when we have this breakdown, they tried to balkanize us then, and it failed. So, they've got the plans ready to go in the time of a disaster. They'll move to it. That's when martial law is set up. Well, here's the point. When this happens, they're going to eliminate the IRS. They're going to eliminate the Federal Reserve. And they're going to go to the tattoo called the RFID chip, which is funded by the health care bill, as are the National Police Force and the health care bill. So when your Ron Pauls are talking about who's a Rosicrucian, and he's also a liar and non-patriot, talks about patriotism, he's lying to the American public because he's a Rosicrucian. When they talk about getting rid of the IRS, hooray, we're going to get rid of the IRS, yeah. And the Federal Reserve, yeah, those bankers, that's what everybody's processed into believing. It's not the bankers. The bankers are throwaways. Eric Holder, Bernanke, every one of them at that level are nothing more than old pair of shoes. Anytime they want to be replaced, they can be replaced in 24 hours. They're nothing. The Illuminati at high level, now you get somewhere. Joint Chief of Staff, your high level Knights of Malta. These guys in secret societies at the highest level, now they control it all. But they're under control of the Vatican. However, granted, you do have a separation of power-hungry groups on both sides of the ocean. There are family disputes or inner rivalries among the Illuminatis. Like a pack of dogs fighting over an old carcass. That's the only wild card I haven't really been able to pin down necessarily. And all they're doing is fighting over who's going to be in control of the New World Order. Whether it's Aldo Brandini or Breakspear or Rockefellers or Rothschilds or whatever. They're just going to fight over it. But God's going to take care of it. We're going to step on every one of them. They don't know this yet. The first will be last, and the last will be first. This, I promise, will happen because the Bible says so. What we don't know is a time frame. Apparently, they really believe that they're in control, but they're not. So what's that got to do with a six-year-old putting the IRS in its place? Well, this is just one more article of many to show that the IRS can be defeated. And the six-year-old's not afraid of it? Well, you shouldn't be either. Yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. This is what all these articles do. Called predictive programming. It works like a charm. Now, I can explain this, and I can say, oh, gang, you know, the six-year-old here, he put the IRS in its place. We got to get rid of that. And I could go on and rant, and all that all day long. And you go, yeah, here, yeah, yeah. But I'm telling you what it really is for. It's to placate the American public. To set them up. So when they get rid of the IRS, get rid of the Federal Reserve, which is what JFK was going to do anyway. That's one of the reasons of the five that he was killed by the Jesuits, by his own family, and the Illuminati, because he went against the Illuminati. He was really going to make a difference. So was McKinley. Finally, was Lincoln. Garfield didn't. Garfield, they just killed him because he's just a bad actor. And Andrew Jackson. Although I got a bone to pick with him because he was really bad with the Indians for whatever reason, but he did defeat the Illuminati because he balanced the budget. He cut their financial control. That's why they tried to kill him three times. Second or third time, the two muskets, point blank range, misfired. And Andrew Jackson, being the brash man that he was, beat the dickens out of the shooter, well, attempted shooter, with his cane. He whacked him good, too. That's the real history. So this little article is nothing more than just one more little, I don't know, predictive programming. But I just wanted to point out how they do this. Now, you'll find this article is going to be put out all over the United States. So everybody, and will not see past the real purpose of this article. And that's what I call them, silly rascals. Where's Elmer Fudd when you need him? So, yeah. So, anyway, that's called the use of the Hegelian dialectic. And that is the strategy they use. That's their playbook, is the Hegelian dialectic. Now, we got a nice crowd today. Group of folks that come in. I do want to let y'all know that we are played up randomly in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. www.highportradio.net, John Kirkler. And his email is highportradio@yahoo.com. We play there daily on a random basis. Monday nights, I have another broadcast, another network, at revelationradionetwork.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live, 8 to 10, revelationradionetwork.org. And that goes on. And we're also played KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, that's out in Colorado area. We played there. So those of you up north, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, get in touch with John Kirkler. Give him a hand there. Because he's expanding his business. He's building additional type antennas. He's going to focus on his network. So he can get us out there, too. Because he broadcast this. I don't get any financial return on this. I just want to be broadcasted and get people to get the truth, and I'm done. That's it. That's all I care about. And always have, actually. Then, of course, Monday through Friday is 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and, well, here you are, my broadcast on this network. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as in tonight, 7:30 to 9, is a Bible study that I conduct, kind of like this broadcast. It's just a broadcast, but I call it a Bible study because it's what we want to stick to. Sometimes the concept of Illuminati comes up because, you see, the concept of Illuminati and their humanist agenda is, in fact, the agenda that Satan is using that the Bible has warned us about. That's how Satan's doing it. Last night I talked in detail to Bible study about how the Illuminati, in their textbook that I acquired, Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz, I talked about in detail how they're training their minions and children and all this in flowerist type language and very proper terms of how the Antichrist is going to come into play. So they don't call him the Antichrist. But here's the rub to it. The book is 1977. The plans go back several hundred years and or more or whatever. And it describes in very flowery language and philosophical terms. But it gets in detail about how they're going to bring about the New World Order. They don't call it that, but you see it into the writings. Well, here's the deal. I don't know if the ones last night caught this, but I was describing what the Bible had predicted 2,000 years before this book was ever published. You see, the Bible describes it in exact terms, according to Revelations, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. And then when you read this book that, of their plans, it tells you what they're going to do. And the Bible confirms it before they wrote this book. So, they're pagans. They're not going to use the Bible and say, well, we got to go by this Bible. If troll, they say, well, the Bible says that, let's do something else. They would not give credence to the Bible. Those of you that are in the Bible study, did you catch that? You think the Illuminati is going to follow the Bible because they want to? If they had control, they'd go and say, the Bible says this, let's do something else. No. Because they don't know what the Bible says. Or if they do know, they have no choice but to go with what the Bible does say. So either way, they're done. Because the Bible predicts it. That's what I got out of it. 2,000 years ago, it was already prophesied. And here you hear it in, you know, up-to-date terms. But see, they can't do anything God won't allow. So they can't put it in operation till he lets them. They'd have done it a long time. Matter of fact, Nimrod, generation from Noah, was the first attempt at a world government. From then on, there's Alexander and others, Caesars, all the way down, all the way through Pharaoh's. Satan's lost every time. All the way up to Hitler. Lost again. There's going to be one that does pass through. And when that happens, the falling away will cause God to pull away. Because we fall away from him, humankind. Then he will allow the Antichrist to take over. That's how it works. So how do you do that? You get people to same-sex marriage. Get people to take the Ten Commandments down. Get people to approve. Countries approve abortion, euthanasia. The more we pull away from him, he pulls away from us, and Satan's got the clear shot. That's how it works. And they got to do these things, these events, during certain moons and constellations, because when in position, where the powers open up the portals. It's physics. It's not supernatural. I mean, it's not philosophical symbolism. This is physics and biology and chemistry and mathematics. The knowledge of good and evil. You see? Satan knows it. He uses that knowledge of good and evil to hook man. After all, it worked in the garden. It's working today. And then he rewards them. Nobel Peace Prize. I'm a summa cum laude. Of some college, whatever. Rhodes Scholarship. All kinds of rewards. Aprons with doodads and little hanging things on it. Look at what my apron's got. Yours don't have it. Yeah. Ego he works on. Pride. That's how he does it. Cash reward. Nobel was Illuminati. J.P. Morgan. One evil individual. Cecil Rhodes, same thing. All part of the Illuminati. Carnegie. Norman Vincent Peale. Aristotle. Mozart. Beethoven. Family, these are all confirmed Illuminati members in the occult. I'm sorry, but they are. Not my fault. I just found out about it. I mean, not just recently, but I mean, I do the research. I don't, you know, Ben Franklin. He's from a Hellfire Club. They found dead bodies that's been there for several hundred years were the sacrifices, animals and human. He was one evil individual. Yet our history books say he's really, you know, he's discovered electricity and a little squatty guy with a, no, most of our founding fathers were deists. Three quarters or half of them were Freemasons. The ones that had a problem with what was going on when they realized that the Constitution wasn't what really was going to be, they killed them. They shut them up. That's what really happened. Now, we don't like hearing all this stuff, but family, you got to know what you're dealing with. Kind of wears you out, don't it? Don't me, but it wears some people out because you say, well, you know, and the mind goes, bzz, you know, deer in the headlights look. But you got to know what to pray against and not to be hooked into a false hope or being put, because Jesus Christ is the hope. Jesus Christ is the winner on the cross of Calvary. They've already lost this war. There's no winning or losing. It's done. It's already finished. We're counting the casualties of those that are hell. So then start thinking, well, I got to get out to as many as I can, especially family, to start witnessing, at least drop the seed about Jesus. That's what it boils down to in our own little world. It's not about us. It's about others. And helping others. That's what it boils down to, family.
Gone hungry, always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, surely. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake till the Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. And I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. It's easy to do when it's population me. What if there's a big addiction? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? Out my window, I saw cardboard signs that help us homeless grow. And just above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by?
Hey, welcome back. Feminist, what's all about? It's about others. We get caught up in our own life that we forget about what we're really here for. That's to worship Jesus Christ. That's it. And to help each other. That's what's going to be in the end times and after Armageddon. That's what it's all about. Ain't gonna be nothing else. And people are forgetting. We're thinking we'll be flying around like George Jetson. That's not going to happen. Freemasons know about all these 6,000 inventions that's going to be released when, you know, mankind's been thinned out. Well, that's not going to happen. They're lying to them. It will not happen. They're going to kill them, every one of them. When the Great White Brotherhood has total control, according to Chapter 15 of the Protocols, they're going to start the elimination and execution of all Freemasons. That's a guarantee. But they're not telling people that. And people can't believe that what would happen. But it's going to. Because it's documented. And this is how these people are at the highest level. They're using the secret societies for their own purposes. That's going to be the horror that they discover once this has control. But first they pull them in. Now, I was going to talk about homosexuality and what really goes on with that. And a couple more things I want to talk about here before I move on. They want you to know how despotic, tyrannical the government is, which it really is. It's coming out now. And the police you can't trust. They want you to know that. And the teachers you can't trust. They want you to know this. That's why they're putting in the articles. And here we go. A kid, quote, kid killed by SWAT team for Wi-Fi remote. So the police see a remote and they shoot this kid, supposedly. SWAT team does it. Family, they're well trained. So this is either true. And he was killed by those I've been telling you about that's going to infiltrate into the police departments that are felons. It's been trained 175,000. Or this is a made-up story just to show you as a distribution as you receive it. Oh, this is terrible. Can you believe it? Yeah, we need help, you know, and so forth and so on. It's a setup. Either way, 90% of the population will read it. Well, actually, 90% of the population won't even read it. So it depends on conspiracy theorists to tell them. But they'll show them to certain groups within the U.S., and that group will believe this, because what they want is an internal civil war once again. Well, after all, come on now. It worked in the 1860s, and it's going to work again if they are careful. We lost that war. We're going to lose the next one, too. Yeah, that's how they do it. So they have us fighting each other. So they use these little articles to stir it up, and it works, too. Homeland Security cancels plans to track license plates nationwide. More tyrannical government, I'll let you know. And scientists have learned how to use a monkey's brain using microchips. A little bit of synthetic Holy Spirit going on here. You see? And military families are using food stamps more than ever. We're in about the seventh stage of the eight stages of Tyler's plan, bondage, spiritual faith, courage, independence, freedom. That's the first four of the 250-year process. We're way past that. Then the culture moves into being selfish. Then apathetic, and then dependent. Now, the issue is tested on this 250. Look it up, Tyler. Democracy to dictatorship. It's all planned out. So right now, they're testing it. Dependency linked to apathy. Food stamps. Benefits. Unemployment. Social Security. All that is to put you under control of the government. Well, we all use it. And they know it. So the microchip is coming. And they'll take your benefits away unless you take the microchip. Oh, it's getting there. As bank debts continue, what's this? As bank debts continue to shock people, reveal J.P. Morgan has been threatening death to risk. Of course. Down with tyranny. Get rid of the, and here we go. Bring in the Sarah. Bring us on the New World Order. That's what the people want. That's why it's called predictive programming. Why would the FCC ask newsrooms about their story selection process? They've been doing this since 1915, 1921. See, now they want to bring it out to you. They want you to know. You see, one of their planning processes is to show the worthlessness of all governments because they have an alternative called peace, which will be a lie. It's called the dialectic. New York City, more black babies killed by abortion than born. New Mexico begins training cops to use more deadly force, not less. See, it's all prescripted. I doubt it. ADL is training our cops. What business is ADL doing to train our cops? Because it's training them to be hardened. And it's determining which cops they're going to have to kill when, yeah, you heard me right, when the New World Order takes over and the ones that's going to be under control in the selection process, good cops will be taken out. The good cops that you have today, and there's a lot of them nationwide, you have a lot of good cops, are going to be identified and taken out. They will not let them continue working for the New World Order. If they're born again Christians, or if they're even remotely Christian at all, or just don't want to get involved with this Luciferian agenda, I don't want to do what y'all are doing. They're going to kill them. I'm telling you right now. And they're going to bring on the felons to replace them on the multi-jurisdictional task force. I don't know what they call it today, but that's what it's going to be. They're trained in Christian identity in the prisons. Trained by black ADL, they get out with college degrees, multilingual, of course, because the UN is going to be here, and assign them to the regions of this balkanized former country we had, or should I say corporation. Already, California is thinking about cutting up into six states of that region. It's called Balkanization. I've served in a Balkanized country before called Kosovo. 5 years. I saw it from scratch to becoming a country of sort. You see, the way the Jesuits do it, they don't care what religion or whatever. The way they do it, they find the culture they can use to take down the Serbian Orthodox Christians. So in this case, they knew the Albanians was a nomadic kind of tribe going back to the 1920s and 30s and so forth. Even before that, Skinder, it's a long story. But anyway, looking for a country. Let's fill it. And that's what Hitler set off to do. It's called Bale Komtar. Mexicans call it Aslan. Americans today call it Declaration of Independence. Now you get it? The blacks call it Emancipation Proclamation. Civil Rights Movement later. The women call it the Feminist Movement. Now you got it? They determine what the culture, country, target needs. They give it to them and control them. That's exactly how it works. It's always worked that way. And they use the news for predictive programming to manufacture consent. Here's another one. 13-year-old boy charged with felony for throwing a snowball at a cop. Why am I reading that here in Mount Airy, North Carolina? Why is this article even been put out at all? How ridiculous it is. A little kid throws a snowball at a cop and he's charged with a felony. Now, I can go on and on about this and say how despotic the government's becoming. The cops are getting under control, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, I get past that nonsense point. There it is. Look, look at this. And let's see how far it goes. When you look at the internet and you put it in the February 27th, 2013, police, man pulls gun on kids who threw snowballs at him. That year ago. This one is now. And in March, man charged with assaulting boy for snowball incident, March 1st, 2012. So it goes to, this is almost too funny. So you have, this is what they use. It goes back to 2011. Except this one is current. Can't they find new stuff or something? I guess they can't find new stuff, so they come up with this nonsense. Right there it is, the proof in the pudding. So this one story goes all over the United States. It goes for three pages of the internet. You know when you do the like 10 articles? And it stops around the sixth or seventh page, and it gets into 2011, 2012, the same instant is reported. Oh, these people are so much a fruitcake, it's not even funny. And everybody's going to just look at this, not going to look back in the other, this is how they do it. That's too funny, it is. Sad, but it's just, and remember I've told you all before, that toward the end of this mess, they're going to start finding new books or novels or hieroglyphics or scrolls or whatever. So the last one was found, I think, was the one that proves that Jesus predicted Muhammad to come. They found it in a trash bin or some kind of a artifact or something. Now they got a 3,000-year-old hieroglyphic that speaks modern-day technology, markings of fallen angels. Oh, man, this is so predictable. You see what I'm talking about here, family? Yes, they do it. It's like a big training school when you read this. That's how they do it. I think there's a movie like that. That's how they do it. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to go for America's Got Talent. Oh, man. Help, help, help. Anyway, that's how they do these things. 90% of the population don't even know this. They just read it and say, oh, that's terrible. See, now that you have the news like Fox talking about how the police are being despotic, see? And all the news is controlled by the Illuminati. It's all prescripted. It's like a big, giant, it's like a giant reality show. That's all it is. And that includes Congress when they have their sessions, and you see it on the internet. It's all scripted out. Every bit of it scripted out. If I was to go in a college class and talk about this, they'd call the men in white suits or something. But now I say, you don't see the evidence? They just get mad and say no. I did study this morning. I may talk about it next week. But a study I did this morning didn't take long either. It's based on the question, should terminally ill children or adults have the right to ask for their own deaths? Well, when I went through this study, I found that you have this progression of satanic rituals relative to the promotion of this agenda. Where is the country right now that's really won number one on euthanasia of children and adults? Belgium. They're leading the way. Well, recently they're having what's called Tomorrowland. Walt Disney, he is an occult. He was a Satanist, Walt Disney was. That's a fact now. He's part of the Illuminati. Look it up right now. As I'm talking, you're disbelieving. Look it up right now and watch what you get. Link it up Disney with Illuminati. And Disney was a pedophile. One evil individual. That's what they created Walt Disney for in the first place, back when he started his program, his his Walt Disney, Disneyland, all that. That's what it's for. That's where they got their pool of young children they were used. And you'll find that to be true. The Mickey Mouse Club thing, whatever, they used a lot of those out of the hall. They took the children there and made them movie stars. They signed their name to Lucifer. That's a fact. Debbie Gibson didn't. Her career didn't go very far either, did it? Nope. A lot of others did, though. It's all part of it. Well, Tomorrowland, kind of a Woodstock on steroids and technology. Mostly young kids. A festival in Belgium. It is 100% occultic, satanic, and New World Order, big time. And they're eating it up. Well, Belgium's also working on the euthanasia agenda right now. They got to push it. So they need a ritual. Open up that portal to get that program started. Now you see. So euthanasia, I found an article, Euthanasia for Children Expands Legal Debate in Belgium, recently. And now Tomorrowland is coming to America. And guess where? Georgia. And guess what's in Georgia? The Georgia Guidestones. About reducing the population. On a Dr. Phil show, of course, he used that to expose the sickness of America. That's what Dr. Phil's for. Is in Rob Murray, or whatever his name is, and Oprah, the whole lot of them, Judge Judy, to show you the idiocy, the crazy things in America, and how it's degrading. They want you to see it, and that's why they put these programs on TV. Well, the Guidestones put out by the Rosicrucians, and you can look it up on your own there if you'd like, a sinister site based on the occult, telling you what's coming. They have to tell you what they're going to do. Well, on the Dr. Phil show, article, horror, mom wants the right to euthanize her disabled children, unquote. It's coming down the pike. And Oregon is getting ready to lead the way. Several other states, like five of them, are getting ready to jump on the bandwagon. It's coming, and when they approve homosexual marriage throughout the United States, they approve abortion, approve marijuana, approve euthanasia. It is coming on us like a whirlwind. God's going to step out of the way, and Satan's going to begin his new world order and the North American Union. Now you understand how it's working. Article. Should terminally ill children have the right to ask for their own deaths? Quote, euthanasia is illegal in all states of the United States. Physician's aid in dying, PAD, or assisted suicide, is legal in Washington, Oregon, Montana, and Vermont. Unquote. Sneaking up on you. Article, assisted suicide, not for adults only? Then you have Children's Defense Fund. Marion Wright Eidelman, member of the NAACP. Children's Defense. And then you've got Convention on the Rights of the Child, between November 8, 1989. The idea is to isolate the children from the parents so the children can make their own decisions. Or be administered by the UN. That's what they're getting ready to do. So they need the NAACP to set this up and to make it look like it's benevolent. It's not. He's sneaking up on you. I'm telling you. And why they have to put Sandy Hook, which was a hoax, to justify putting cops in the schools, and you'll want it. That's called the dialectic. It worked perfectly. Well, that's protect our kids, Tom. No, it's not. Because they control the shooters anyway. MK Ultra. Oh, there's what that teacher's talking about. Oh, you see, they got me going, don't they? Yeah, they got me going. MK Ultra, our teacher talked about that. He is crazy. I read this in an article. You did you? So, See how that works? Quite clever, actually. The police are there, and they're going to add more to it to protect the school from the parents when the parents want to take the kids out of school. But the parents don't know it yet. They haven't been told. Already they're showing their power by keeping parents from doing certain things at school to show they have power and all that. It's already been stepped up. I got several articles confirming that. It's just coming right along the path. And they're getting ready to make it happen. It's called the NSSM 200 Depopulation Plan, Kissinger and Haig. Furthered on, continuity-wise, with Carter, the peanut farmer, who approved Global 2000. Look it up. It's to further the agenda for the New World Order to reduce the world's population under the guise and the lie that's overpopulated. So what do you want us to do about it? Pray. Spread the truth. Work together. But be able to identify the secret societies. Be able to identify who's really the enemy. But a lot of prayer, fasting, prayer groups. Going against these plans they have by getting people together and sending and inundating the congressman with letters and with emails and whatever else you want to do. All it's going to do is slow it down or delay it. But at least you do something. Revolution, armed revolution like they're planning, will play into the hands of the Illuminati because that's what they want. They'd rather it happen easily, but they know it's not going to. So they're inciting the rebellion exactly like they did in 1776 and 1860. They tried to in 1932, the Bonus Army marched against D.C. They were going to in 1972 when Nixon was going to declare martial law. They were going to in 1962-63 when they fired on the students at Kent State. And when they tried to bomb like the Israelis, when they tried to murder, tried to destroy USS Liberty and failed. LBJ was a part of that too. I'm going to tell you what. I could promise you this. If I was an admiral, I know I'd be kissing my rank goodbye. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you that I would have launched at least 4 fast movers with their orders to shoot down those 2 Israeli jets. Not even give them a chance. Because they were murdering our people. And they knew it too. And I would have executed that order. I know it would be hanging up my admiralty. But been worth it. To protect our navymen from those Israeli fakes out there. And I would have taken down those 2 planes with orders to kill. Not even give them a warning. Just launch the missiles. Let them go and protect our men from the Israeli killers. The real Hebrew Jews, they're coming out. The real Israelites. And they can't find them either. That's the 12 tribes of God's chosen people, the real Hebrew Israelites. And it ain't America, it ain't Europe. It's the real Hebrew Israelites, the sons and daughters of Abraham. That's half brothers and sisters, by the way, to Ishmael descendants, Arabs. Tribe of Dan don't like that. The offspring of the Pharaohs, they don't like that. That's what's going on. But the USS Liberty, they wanted to sink to the bottom of the sea, blame it on the Egyptians, and get World War III started. You know why? Because that would then force, they think, their Messiah to come into play then. But it didn't happen, did it? That ship didn't sink. God's in control. When are they going to learn? They're not in control. Now that's the raw truth. My allegiance is to God. through Jesus Christ. That's it, man. That's my only allegiance. That's it. I have no other. I'm done. And as far as I'm concerned, it's non-negotiable whatsoever. Father, I've confessed I live much of my life in quiet desperation. Fear is constantly challenging my faith. It stands between me and you. Today I renounce that fear. I rebuke it in your name and choose to believe in the love for me. I believe you've not left me and will not forsake me. Help me, Father, to abandon fear and run to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. For that's for those who have fear. Not let this fear that they're putting out there get to you. Me, I don't fear doggone one of them. But there's people that have this fear, and by hearing all this stuff and not knowing the background of it, draws fear to people. Choose love, not fear. I am the one who comforts you, so why are you afraid of mere humans? What in the world? Isaiah 51:12. What does the King James say? Isaiah Isaiah 51:12 in the King James Bible says, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die? Oh, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass. You see, how much they change of the Bible's verses. And why people can't get it, I just don't know. I got to double, triple check every time I do any research. And when I get a scripture, no matter who it comes from, whether it matches up the King James Bible, because so many people don't use a King James Bible. The only true word. There is no others but the King James. There is none. Not a one. The rest of them are corrupted. This boggles my mind. It just really does. How can people can't understand that? Why? And these theologians paired it off, too. All right. In that scripture, it talks about fear. And fear seems to be what they want you to have. Jehovah, God, not Yahweh, not Yeshua, not Yahshua, not Yahushua, whatever. All that's of Satan. Of that there's no question, as evidence confirms. But Jehovah God, not Yahweh, but Jehovah, speaks a message of comfort. And that to those who fear the tyrant, whether Nebuchadnezzar, I hate that word because I cannot say it, Nebuchadnezzar. It's like something that I had in my nose, I snuffed it out. In that day, or the man of sin in the future, they should fear the Lord who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Then they would lose their fear of frail men. The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed. They should not die in the pit. His bread should not fail. These captives were loosed at the time of Cyrus. They will be loosed by the Messiah at his appearing in glory. You see, Jehovah is going to bring it to pass. He's one in control. He's infinitely higher and ultimately nigh, hiding his people with the shadow of the hand. He puts the words in the mouth so they can be his missionaries to the world. Because he knows his people. We just got to know his voice. Get to know his voice. We're going to talk today about the homosexual agenda, and not just of the homosexual, because they're being used as pawns. They just don't know it. I was going to talk, now I talked about, I think a little bit about feminist movement. And now they're saying that Christianity gave us gay marriage. The American fight for equality begins distinctly with Christian precepts. Christianity offer all but assured triumph of the movement for gay marriage, is it? That's the predictive programming they're trying to get across to people. Then there's others that say that the gay community is that way because of genetics. It's justified because of genetics. That's the reason. They can't make up their mind. And they're manufacturing consent for same-sex marriage in various different ways. And they use the rainbow colors as their emblem, their logo, right? Well, that's the Antikorana. The bridge between the overlord, Satan, and mankind to become indwelled. It's an alchemy kind of thing going on. That's what the rainbow is all about. They've taken God's symbol that he gave to Noah about the flood, and they've used it for themselves as their emblem. It's Antikorana. Bridge to the Overlord. Now, pretty much, getting right down to it, the homosexuals have been duped. And they're being used like everybody else. HIV was created in a laboratory, Fort Detrick, Maryland, under classified operations about late 70s. It was created in a laboratory, as was cancer, created in a laboratory. Your Pat Robinson's, who's a 33rd degree Mason, 700 Club Pat Robinson, is a 33rd degree Mason, member of the Council of National Policy, which is a council underneath the Council of Foreign Relations, the Illuminati. Says, God did this, God did to the... No, God don't. God allows, but God didn't do it. Everybody blames God for everything. That's how Satan wants it done. Everybody blames God. Well, it's not God. God allows it because we turn away from him. They're convinced that their sex is not real. They've pretty much fallen prey to the power of the perverse spirit. It's supernatural, family. Adultery, lust, all that is supernatural. It's our desires that's exacerbated by demonic entities that demonize us. It's frequency of vibration. It's actually physics and biology mixed together. The spirit's an agent of the spirit of divination is what it is. It's controlled by the familiar spirits called the fallen angels or spirit guides. They're all connected together in a cloud of supernatural energy of some sort. That's how it controls. The intents of the forces of darkness are the same as the father lies. Satan himself, they're sent out to steal, kill, and destroy. You find that in John 10:10. Homosexuality is not a disease, it's not an illness, not a learned behavior, nor is it an alternative lifestyle. A lesbian, homosexual, other names that they use for them, that I don't like these names. I got to the point, Butch, and they got the word starts with an F. I hate these words. For the blacks, I hate that N-word with a passion. I don't mind calling a white man cracker. But some of these words, for me, I just don't like saying them. If you don't mind. But you know what I'm talking about, these words. Whatever kind of pervert is not born this way. That's how they call it. But they're not born that way. Each type of conduct is caused by the perverse spirit. It goes back four generations, or three, or two, or one, or the individual. And they're lured into this cunning, clever, crafty deception by Satan, the chief liar. And this includes adultery. So, there's no difference. If you have a macho man that says, I don't like those homosexuals, and he uses another word. Really? When he commits adultery, he's no better. He's introduced the person into the trap through either curiosity or with the help of another individual who's already caught in this trap, or an older person, or that's being used as Satan's agent. So once you participate and go along with deception, you give free will, choice. You learn that you can do nothing to satisfy the insatiable, uncontrolled desires, the deep-seated longings and lusts that compel us to go even to extremes. It is supernatural, family. It is possession or demonization, and there is a difference. Either wise, it's demonic influence. And you know that after a while, you eventually learn there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that will satisfy these desires. Once it's done, you're ready to do it again. That's why so many homosexuals and male, female, others that, of every description commit suicide. You notice that? Even on TV, when they portray a man-to-man homosexual affair, one of them, in one episode I saw on this thing called Nashville or something, the guy starts to commit suicide. They show you on TV, even in the script that's written down. Because that demon inside wants that person to die. Guess what they're geared toward? Suicide through alcohol, drugs, or they just waste away through pining, or they lose their lives and typically to satisfy desires is sadism or meshism, or they move it up another ledge, another step. There is a way out. That name is Christ Jesus. The shed blood of Jesus will set you free. It's supernatural. Testimony says the demons that once controlled them and created these desires where they can't sleep or rest or have one moment of being at ease has to be cast out. How dare you say, I go to church. Yeah, but your kid may have messed with a Ouija board. That Ouija board is so evil you can't imagine. And to make it more appetizing, they painted them pink. They got a pink Ouija board. Now, that can't be evil now. How can a pink Ouija board be evil? A black one might be evil, but not a pink one. Yeah, baloney. Because once you use a Ouija board one time, that begins the portal opening for a demon to get in. And he'll come in there and be quiet for a while. And he'll work on you to open up. Listen now. To open up a portal for more of his fellow demons to come in. How they come in? Demons are nothing more than specks of light. That's all they are. These orbs you see flying around, that ain't angels. Those are fallen angels. Those aren't angels from God. And when you see them, when you're able to see them, either it's a gift, you got to test the spirits. Or it's because in your family bloodline, someone messed with witchcraft, Ouija board, Freemasonry, something in your family bloodline, and it would be a generational curse. You got to cut it. You got to get rid of it. Prayer and fasting, Matthew 17:21. But you got to repent of sins, get right with God, and then you start the deliverance. Unnatural desires were destroyed through the blood of Jesus. The tireless, merciless driving forces get broken. You can sleep at night. You can rest. But it won't be easy. Because if you continue to use it, more demons come into a legion. You always have a strong man. Howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. That's why they took it out of the Bibles, except for the King James. And Mark 9:29. Prayer and fasting tightens you in. This is the same thing I'm telling you if I'm training you as a military person or a law enforcement, which I did, on how to fire a firearm. You take your magazine, you stick it in the magazine well, you lock and load. Well, I'm telling you the same thing, exactly. Except here, you don't run out. When you lock and load, you run out. It locks back and you're done. But with God, it's eternal. It's a supernatural war we're in. Every single bit of it. Strategy, predictive programming to keep you in fear. You've got fear, you've lost your faith. Peter, come step out, come. In the water? Peter stepped out on the water. He was walking on the water till he got afraid. He started sinking. You got to listen to the voice of truth. Because that's where it's at. That's the only place you're going to find it.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me.
The voice of truth. The truth can be found in the King James Bible and the Holy Spirit to talk in your heart, but you got to open up the path. You know, the life of the homosexual is a life of searching. It's never-ending desire to be satisfied, to find happiness, yet they call themselves gay, but that couldn't be further from the truth. The life of a homosexual is a life of searching and searching, and this for the love that is never to be had. It will not happen. It's a fake love, based on physical instead of spiritual. It's a life of constant dread, loneliness, emptiness, and void. It's a life filled with rejection and resentment and delusions, all from the guilt of their own inferiority and their own inadequacy. Most homosexuals commit suicide, murders, incest, and child molestations and any other group of people. There are also more drug and alcohol abuse among the homosexuals than any other group. That's why they're trying to make it legal, so they won't feel that conviction that's going on in their bodies, in their soul. That's where it's coming from, conviction. So that makes it okay by legalizing it. Coming out and all that sort of thing. You notice that now, almost all of a sudden, in the past 6 months, year, sports stars, macho looking, comes out. John Jones, running back for the blah, blah, blah. He comes out. Everybody comes out. It's all of a sudden, it's just pew, coming out of the woodwork. Because they've got a major agenda using them, using the homosexuals. So God will pull away. I'm just letting y'all know what's going on. I'm trying to stay neutrally. I don't want to have a program where I'm anti-gay, I'm homophobic, and all. No, I'm telling you what they're doing. My personal opinion doesn't count. I'm telling you the strategy being used by these at the highest level. That's what I'm trying to do. I can't judge homosexuals. I was an adulterer when I was married twice. Well, three times, but twice I was. Two marriages, I was an adulterer. I was a liar, a cheater. So I'm no better. I repented of that in 1983. God forgave me. He'll forgive anybody. Trust me on that one. I never went back to adultery ever, but I maintained drinking and other things while I wasn't married. But never again commit adultery. Then my drinking stopped, sort of. It started tapering off. I mean, tapering off. AA is the worst place you can go. AA is a new age program. It's designed to lead you away from Jesus. Look it up. I could do an hour on AA. Oh, they're sneaky. I could be doing a program today on adulterers. Right now, it's just about homosexuals because that's the biggest drive right now, you see. So, no, the homosexual's not gay. They're very sad. They need prayers and help of the Christians and not bitterness and railing. Homosexuals are in deception and need the unadulterated truth of the living Word of God. They need to repent of their disobedience and forsake the life of the homosexual and focus on God and worshiping Him. They need saving, healing, and deliverance, teaching from the Word of God, and a strong ministry of love and prayer. The homosexual spirit causes the human host to have a terrible fear of being alone. They're not really loners, but they are found alone. In their fantasizing, they're not alone. Imagine someone with them. They'll always have a crowd in the orgies that may be ongoing, or if they're a single individual, so not into the orgy thing. It's in real life, they go from partner to partner and to partner, fantasizing all the while. Homosexuals may think that everything's going along great, successfully in their life. They may have acquired a position or a claim. And matter of fact, I know in the Marine Corps in the Paris Island, there's a cabal of the lesbian cabal that goes away to Washington, D.C. Gets you promoted. That's what really goes on. It's powerful, too. Goes all the way to the Pentagon and the White House. Things may be going along smoothly. Then the kink appears, which is no more than the lying spirit upon them. They're very insecure, jealous of one another, often commit murder or some violent crime or beating or some sort. They'll always be dissatisfied with the life, hard to sleep, because his desires are insatiable. They won't stop. The mind of the homosexual is controlled, given over to insatiable, uncontrollable, driving-type appetites. The pervert spirit is very cunning, crafty. They makes them crafty. And they develop lusts and desires for every conceivable, unnatural desire. 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. Having their consciences seared with a hot iron. The Bible tells you. And any time the personality of the homosexual can change, it's because of the possession. Now, I can go on about this. I mean, I got a complete detail and study of it that I did. And also, I studied other folks that were experts in the field of psychology, that were Christian psychologists. I'm very careful who I use. I know Irene Arlington Park does a good study of it. And then did testimonies, research on others. Romans 1, 24 and 28. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do things which are not convenient. If you go to 2 Peter 2, 14 and 15. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they are exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. Family, the Bible is genius. How did they know that back then? Unless inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. It shows up in day-to-day living. I may talk about more about this next week. depending. But I do want to. I got another. I've got a whole hour on this. We could talk, but a person that pretty much though coming down to it. A person who's put a design on another person, either knowingly or unknowingly, can break the curse and loose that person from bondage to the powers of darkness. The Word of God says in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So acknowledging the sin before God, when you confess it and truly repent of it, in the name of Christ Jesus, he will break the curse. The blood of Jesus will destroy the works of darkness. And these spirits of divination, they'll lose their hold on you. And then maybe if you go to the person, ask for their forgiveness. When this ain't possible, then believe God to do the work. When you're married and you had sex before marriage, it would do for you to finally apologize to your spouse and her to apologize to you. Of that sin, fornication before marriage. I've been there. To make it right. You ask God to change the desires of homosexual and cause him to hunger and thirst after righteousness. For his name's sake. When they're willing to be delivered from the perverse spirit and seek help, then God will set them free. But any person who's committed a crime against the body, incest, bestiality, rape, oral sex, unmarried, anal sex, masturbation, any other type of unnatural sex, also can seek God's forgiveness and ask God to heal their own body, mind and spirit, as well as the person they may have trespassed against. God's faithful, he'll forgive and cleanse and heal and deliver. When I talk about these things, I want to emphasize I'm not innocent. But I have to talk about them. I can't just, well, gosh, that describes me. I can't talk about this. It doesn't work that way. I have to. And then I feel obliged to let you know that I'm not hypocritical, that I got to tell you I've done it myself. To sin against the body, whether it's homosexual, fornicator, or adulterer, idolater, in the sight of God condemns us. If we're homosexual and call yourself a Christian, the issue is between you and God. But this is a moral sin and a sin unto death. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. James 1:14-15. If we say that we've fellowship with him, God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. 1 John 1:6. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, shall he not make it good? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. I think it's coming around, family. I really do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Joint Chief of Staff, you would do good to listen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Family, an armed revolution will not work. If they announce an armed revolution and it works, it hasn't worked. They're just placating you. God is the answer in all cases. Homosexuals that have accepted Christ have never crucified the flesh with the affections, passions, and lusts. Galatians 5:4. When you're administering to someone that's going through all this, you got to put the whole armor of God around you and put around you daily. You know, the Old Testament law commands the Israelites, do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:28. If you go to Leviticus 19:28 in the King James Bible, it says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Well, there you go. Even if it's some kind of scripture, you're still marking up the body. You don't need to put scripture on the body. You got it in the Bible. Why you got to put it on the body for? So even though believers today are not under the Old Testament law, like in Romans 10:4, or Galatians 3:23 to 25, Ephesians 2 verse 15, the fact that there's a command against marks should raise some question. Now, the New Testament does not say anything about whether or not a believer should get a tattoo or a mark. New Testament doesn't cover that. But in relation to tattoos or marks or body piercings and all that, a good test to determine whether you can honestly, in good conscience, ask God to bless and use this activity for his own good purposes. So 1 Corinthians 10 to 31 you find whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all in the glory of God. So the New Testament does not command against marks or tattoos or body piercings, but also does not give us any reason to believe God would have us to get tattoos or body piercings. An important principle and issue is the Bible does not actually specifically address if there's room for doubt whether it pleases God, then it's best to engage in that activity. Better not to. So go to Romans 14:23. Reminds us in Romans 14:23 that anything that does not come from faith is sin. Our own bodies, as well as our souls, are redeemed. They belong to God. It gives us a principle. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought for a price. So, you honor God with your body. That goes with also homosexuality, adultery, whatever it is. Family, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know, I have to. So is it okay then with the Bible? Go to Leviticus, then you look at what the scriptures say about glorifying God. Because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you have to come to grips with that through the Holy Spirit and your prayers. There's a lot of fascination about tattooing and things in the Bible. Tattoos are just mentioned briefly in the Old Testament, like I said. But there's no methods for creating tattoos, whether your reference is email or whatever. But the context of Leviticus 19 is of pagan idolatry, too. So on one hand, there's no custom, however outlandish that might be ruled out. However, the theory is certainly not present nor referenced in the Bible. Outside the Bible, there are a few written records dealing with pagan cults that had that kind of cult detail. So I guess it could be argued to a certain extent. But then you go back to what I was talking about everything you do in the glory of God, and the body is not yours to even mark or whatever, because it belongs to God. So, a tattoo of a cross is better than a tattoo of a flaming skull, naked woman, or demon. Having a tattoo, Jesus saves, could indeed be a conversation starter with some people who never approached a preacher. Some Christians find that tattoos give them credibility, therefore more possibility of evangelizing people. Some groups of people, but you have Christian tattoos, is what comes up. Revelation 19:16 is a quite interesting scripture. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So does that mean that Jesus had that written on his leg? That's an interesting thought. The question is not necessarily is getting a tattoo a sin. The question is more, is getting a tattoo good and necessary thing to do? 1 Corinthians 10:23 declares everything is permissible, but not everything is a beneficial. Everything's permissible, but not everything is constructive. 1 Corinthians 9:22-23. Paul exclaims, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. So becoming all things to save some is the only good possible reason for getting a Christian tattoo. And if having a tattoo generally opens doors for evangelism, that would be otherwise be closed. Getting Christians tattoos would qualify under Paul's becoming all things qualification. But at the same time, it's difficult to envision a scenario in which having a tattoo would actually enable a greater possibility of evangelism. You know, if a person will not listen to you to a lack of tattoo, it's highly unlikely they're going to generally listen to you in the presence of a tattoo. In any case, in conclusion, a biblically based conclusion would seem to be that a Christian tattoo are permissible, but highly questionable whether they could be considered beneficial and constructive. So a Christian considering getting a tattoo should pray for wisdom. James 1 verse 5. Ask the Lord to provide pure motives and discernment. Keep in your mind about marking up the temple of God. It's between you and God. I have to cover both sides of this so you can consider on your own. But certainly, not having a tattoo of a skull, that goes without saying. Or Illuminati symbol or a hexagram. That's a given. Because that glorifies Satan. It opens up a portal on your skin, as does cutting. That's why it's done. So if you got a tattoo of a cult meaning, I'd be getting that thing off or praying over it. That's a for certain. And then is the matter of the heart. I know someone that there's a couple of scriptures that was said in one movie right before the one of the stars of the movie would kill somebody. I forgot the name of the movie. Had John Travolta in it and some other guy. They were hitmen. And the name of the movie is on the tip of my tongue. It's a very odd movie. But these two, John Travolta and this other guy, a black actor, were hitmen. Start with an F. Oh, man, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, and right before that, one of the hitmen would kill one of their marks, he'd cite scripture and then kill the target. Well, I know of a person that actually had that particular verse tattooed on their chest because it was cool in the movie. So the idea, and this person is into Wicca, so the idea is not to show the meaning of the scripture as a benevolent means, but one of just blasphemy. God knows the heart. He knows the heart. Family, we have come to the end of the program. They've lost this war. And they don't want you to know that. They have fear. That's why they have all these means of keeping track of people and tyrannical government to keep you in fear, because they want your soul to go to hell. I just get right down to it. And to keep you busy, tied up in fear, to take away your faith. Don't let them do it. Get closer to God. The more they try to get you away, you get closer. And follow the scripture. Because it's going between you and God anyway. Nobody else. And then to pray for others. Family members especially. You don't know when one's going to take their life, or suicide's on the rise big time. Big, 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 big. It is all demonic. It's all demonization, possession, and the occult, sacrifice of humans. Apparently, these people are evil at the highest level that you can't even imagine. But God's going to take just so much, and boy, he's going to let it come down, and it'll be 7 years of tribulation. Hadn't started yet. And all these red ponds and red lakes and all that ain't got nothing to do with tribulations at all. Yet people are pulled in to thinking, is it coming now? Oh, good. Oh, it's going to be over. Oh, we had to worry about what? Was one pond in Michigan? Okay, no problem. Whew. Man, it don't work that way, family. It's going to be real blood and real pond, and God can do it. Because he did it during the days of Moses. He'll do it again. And these preachers out here, evangelists or whatever on these YouTubes, and on the pulpits is talking about we're in the sixth trumpet and blah, blah, blah. Or we got 3 days of darkness coming. Oh, yeah. They forget about the first seal, which is the coming of the Antichrist. That's got to happen first. It won't happen until the falling away of the man of sin is revealed. Hadn't happened yet. Then you got 7 years. That's the first seal to the seventh. Brings on the first trumpet to the seventh. And that brings on the seven bowls, and you're in Armageddon. That's also a seven-year period. 7 years. Hadn't started yet. But they're trying, they have an effort to get people to believe that it has. And almost finished. God don't do things like that. Everybody will be judged. Whether it's judgment seat of Christ for believers, or the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium for the unbelievers. Every human being has ever lived. Death, you will not escape. So seek Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get on your knees and repent of your sins between you and him and nobody else. Pray for discernment and wisdom. That's where it lies. Well, family, you have a great evening and a great weekend. I got Bible study tonight, 7:30. Y'all come join. If you'd like, then we'll be back again 4 o'clock on Monday. Let y'all know that John Kirkler at HighPointRadio.net plays this randomly on his network. HighPointRadio at Yahoo.com up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. We're played out at KBLU Radio and Blue Raven Network in Colorado. your family, the other weekend. And this is Watchful for Jesus, signing off.
From the sky, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. Watchful for Jesus, signing off.